Special day. My name is Chrissy Toledo. Those of you who don't know me, my husband, Pastor Toledo, he's the lead pastor, but he is under the weather. Actually, he came in this morning and had this cough that's been keeping me up at night too, and ended up going back home. But I just talked to him and he's improving. But anyway, I had a word in my heart, so God knew that I was going to share today. So praise the Lord. But no, thank you. Amen. Well, I love the story of David. I wish you could see, that was the very last scene we showed the kids, but we showed them some scenes before that. And if you know the story of David, it is just fascinating because you see David, he's this shepherd boy, and he's out in the field all alone. His dad put him out there while the other brothers got to fight in the army. They were strong. They got to hang out and do all the fun stuff, if you will. But David was stuck out in the field. But the thing of it is the prophet Samuel in the Bible, God used him, spoke through him, and said, it's time to find my chosen one, someone who would ultimately take over for King Saul and become the next king. And so prophet Samuel had the task of finding this guy, and the Lord told him to go to Jesse's house, but when he told him to go to Jesse's house, he didn't tell him exactly which one of Jesse's sons would be that chosen one. So naturally, he came in to, and it was so cool for the kids. Those are some of those sons, by the way, those crazy guys. They were doing dance moves, and they were doing flips, and they were doing all these things to impress the prophet Samuel. And even Samuel himself probably thought it has to be one of these guys. These are already warriors. God clearly would choose a warrior, a big, strong guy with the talent, with the aptitude, all those great things. And to probably Samuel's surprise, it wasn't any of those sons. So he says to Jesse, the father, he says, where are all your sons? Because I know it's one of your sons. There must be more. So he said, yeah, I do have another son, but he's a shepherd. He's a lowly shepherd. And he basically says, call for him. I need to see him. He calls for David. David, just like you saw here, ran in. And the scene was so cool how it came to life for me. I've read it many times, but as we were working on it for the kids, it was so cool because you see the prophet come, and he's surprised. None of these sons fit the bill, if you will. When David comes, he goes to lay hands on David. And when he does, David is just so humble and reverent and simple. Power comes out of David, the anointing, the power of God, which just surprised everyone on the scene. But now, Samuel, I love this, but Samuel starts chuckling and he goes, God, you are funny. You're funny because I came here looking for a brilliant warrior, a big, strong guy. But God, man looks at the outside, but you look at the heart. He wasn't looking for all those things. And a lot of times, those things are the very things, if we were to be honest, that impress us about people. Quite frankly, they don't impress God much at all. It's the heart that God sees. And David was so special, so unique. Read the life of David, because you kind of walk away from reading it and say, huh? It's like, I want to be close to God. I want to be the greatest of woman of God, right? We all do that we could be. And we think, oh, if I could just get some of those secrets, it must be maybe reading my Bible some more, or reading a couple church history books, or going to seminary, or whatever it may be. And we think we'll like cross a threshold into being this magnificent woman or man of God, right? It's actually not that at all. David was a simple shepherd. He lived out there with the stinky, smelly sheep. And guess what he did every day? The same thing. The same mundane thing. And he was alone. He was alone. Something about David being alone, is where it all happened. David began to get revelation, which now we get to benefit from. You know that David that was out there on the field? we're benefiting from his loneliness. Because now we get to learn God's heart through David's life. So that David, Ian, didn't he do a phenomenal job? He's 12 years old. I'm so proud of him. And Goliath, I mean, we didn't have to, he just is always lifting tons of weight. He was perfect for the job. But you know, I'm convinced that we all want to be like David. But then I think of Goliath and what Goliath represents to me. Goliath represents the giants in our lives, right? Giants come in all different forms. A giant to you today might be your problems. It might be a struggle at work. It might be a struggle with temptation that just, it's like I want to get free of this thing already, right? But sometimes when you look at the life of David, you think, is it possible that the biggest giant in my life is the girl in the mirror that I look at every day? Could that be my biggest giant? Am I missing out on the kind of relationship God wants to have with me because of the giant? And I have found the giant is me. Let me tell you why I know that. Because of what God says about kids. This is Kids Weekend. And while we could have made it just a regular service for us, not done the drama, not had the kids choir and all that, we purposely infused kids ministry, if you will, into the adult service. There was a reason for that, and I think it's this message today. So it says in Matthew 18, let me just pray, Lord, we thank you and we bless you, and we just ask you to have your way right now, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and say what I could never say. Speak to my heart, speak to all of our hearts, and Lord, we just want to leave different, God. We want to leave closer to you. We want the David, Jesus, that kind of relationship, Lord. Do something life-altering in this service. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I love when I read a verse or a passage that I've known literally my entire life since I was a little girl. And then I read it, and this might happen to you too. And then it's like, whoa, I never saw the word in the middle of that verse. And that word is a game changer. Watch this. Matthew 18. Go to the scene in your mind. Jesus is with the people. His disciples come up to him. Nothing new under the sun. They're asking, who then, at the time the disciples said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Could I just stop and say, isn't that still how we are? We want to find the greatest on social media. We want to find the most popular, the coolest, the most followers has to be the greatest one. Nothing new. They were saying, even though they were with him all the time, they were like, who's the greatest? And then all of a sudden, he calls a child over. And he not only calls the child over, he places the child, imagine, in the middle of them all. And now he's going to say something. Whenever he says, truly I tell you, he's saying, listen, this is super important. Okay? He says, truly I tell you, unless you change, say change. Change. Say change one more time. Change. That's the word that I never saw as clear as I did. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter. Yikes, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven unless you, what's the word? Change and become like a little child. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position, remember that shepherd, it's just going back, right? He's talking, but it's jumping back to the Old Testament, David on the field, the lowly shepherd boy. Unless you change. And whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such in my name welcomes me. And he wasn't talking about that little child. He was talking about the people that are willing to change. He was talking about us. If you're willing to change, when anybody welcomes you, they actually are welcoming me. This is incredible, you guys. This is incredible. So I thought about how in a few minutes can I teach us how to be children? And then it was like, how could I teach us to be children when every single one of us was a child at one point in our lives? How many of you were not children at any point in your life? Have you been adults since you were born? You may have felt like an adult by the time you were born, but we were all children. And regardless of what you went through as a child, this is not about that. I want you to go to your heart as a child. Nobody else's heart, not what anybody else did in your household. But I want to go to your heart. How you thought, how you depended, how you followed, how desperate you needed that adult, whether they were good or bad or ugly, whatever the thing was. The posture of a child is one of dependence, right? I didn't even need to tell you that. You know that when you were a child, you completely depended. I have a little granddaughter. I wish I could bring her up here, but she's in streams and that's where she belongs. She's worshiping back there. But when Sienna Lake wakes up in the morning, her first thing is the arms go up out of the crib and she reaches for mommy, dad. It really wouldn't matter, but she's dependent. And the very first thing she's looking for is for love. It's very next thing she's looking for is something to eat. I mean, it's pretty basic. That's how we came into this world. Absolutely dependent. And he's saying, unless you... Wait, are you telling me, Lord, that the Holy Spirit can help me change? I think about how the Holy Spirit helped me change. I can testify to it because when I was 17 and 18 years old, you would not want to know me. I was making the worst decisions of my life, right? I was so deceived. It was just self-gratification. It was, who's the greatest? I want to be good enough. I want to be, it's like the very thing we read. Even the disciples are guilty of it, right? Just that running after nothing. And it left me because I was, instead of dependent on God, I became extremely independent. Maybe you're in this room today and you're extremely independent and God is saying, unless you change and become like a child. So I was super independent, and my independence had me get to a point where I tried to take my life. That's what my independence served me. Got away from just the little girl who, if you saw me as a little girl, 3-4 years old, walking with my dad in Brooklyn. And I want to say Brooklyn then was about the worst neighborhood you can find in Chicagoland. Just think of the worst, right, neighborhood. That was the Brooklyn that our church was in. And my dad would walk out of that little church in Brooklyn. It was terrible. Prostitutes, drug addicts, drunks, all surrounding us. And here I was walking with my dad because he'd take me to work. And I'd walk, but guess what? I was so dependent on him. And I had such ease because I was a child at following him. I didn't think to run off. I loved holding his hand. As a matter of fact, his hand, he would squeeze my hand 3 times. He'd go squeeze, 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 and only he and I knew what that meant. It meant, I love you. But you know what? There could have been gunshots going around us. I didn't feel it because I was a child. I was a child. I was just dependent and I had no problem following. I knew that dad would provide the meal I needed that day, that he would get me home somehow, that I would get to school, all the things I needed, right? That's how we are wired as children. And David, he knew the secret because he was alone, and we're benefiting from it today, to understand the heart of God. He understood that it was okay to be him. Is that okay to say it that way? It's okay to be who you are, to go back. I like to call it reverse engineering. I think God is calling us today, if we would change and become like a child, he's calling us to reverse engineer the inside of who we are, to go back to that child that is, you may have work tomorrow, you may have problems, you may have bills to pay, but your dependency puts you in a posture that says, God, I absolutely throw it on you. I'll do my part, but you take care of it. I'll do my part. I'll be diligent. You know, the thing about following is I equate following with obeying. I purposely didn't choose the word obey today. I could tell you, you know what? Children, obey your father, mother. Children, obey your father in heaven. But I purposely didn't say that because you need to see it differently. You need to see it as following. And the thing about following is when you follow, you naturally obey. Come on. When you follow, you naturally obey. You naturally do what you're supposed to do. You know, follow the directions. Maybe we need to see it as follow the directions instead of obey, and we'll obey every time. It's just following, and he makes it easy. He gives us his word. So following, the easiest way for those of you that are visiting that have no, this is all new to you. The easiest way to understand how to follow God and change and become children of God is we have his word. Every single day, I was sharing this morning that I have my doctor attends this church. Her name is Maria Ferreira. She's a tremendous doctor. I was like, Lord, it's incredible. Here, she's a doctor that sees about 25 patients in a day with heavy situations. And yet you want her to be like a child. How does that even work? But I said this morning, Maria, all she has to do is wake up and approach the Lord like a child. Like he's literally waiting for her to ask for something. He's waiting for her to ask something. You open your word and all of a sudden you read a verse and you're like, God, that's how you feel about me today? That's how much you love me today? And then he gave us, he said, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm sending my Holy Spirit. So he sends his Holy Spirit. He sends his Holy Spirit that we need right now. He sends his Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. The Bible says in Romans, children of God, pop that up there. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are, it doesn't say people of God, it says children of God. It promises that he'll lead us by his Spirit. He'll lead us. So it's from telling us what to do, how he feels, how much he loves us, and then leads us through the day. And then he might say to Maria, you know, Maria, Dr. Maria, at about 3 o'clock-ish, you're going to have a situation that's way bigger than you. Med school didn't prepare you for this one. There's someone with a mental health situation that's going to just unload on you. But I'm going to help you, and I'm going to show you. Even now, I'm showing you what to say. She has to stay in that posture. Yes, I'm a doctor, but I'm a child of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Holly, come on. Let's thank him. I'm so grateful that he gives us an opportunity to reverse engineer. He takes the weight of being an adult off of us. We've been adults for way too long on the inside. We have to be adults on the outside, but we don't have to be adults on the inside. We can come to the Lord. Yesterday morning, I felt so much like a daughter instead of an adult, like a little daughter, because we were getting ready for kids' weekend, and it was like the Lord, I felt him just draw near and said, Chrissy, to you and everyone that's volunteering, tell them, thank you for doing this weekend. This is my heart. A father will talk to you if you'll just listen.